My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
It's Arts and Seizures with your host, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
We're back. Back at Roberta's here on the Heritage Radio Network. Arts and Seizures. It's Mike and Judy time.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Judy.
How's it going?
Things are awesome. Barreling right into the holiday season.
My favorite time of year.
I know how much you love it. I'm really excited because next week, or the week after, I guess, November 25th.
The week after.
It's flying like crazy. I'm losing track rapidly as we barrel into, I'm hearing Christmas music in cabs already, so that's kind of fucking up my head. But next Monday, the 25th, it's the Monday before Thanksgiving at 8 p.m. right here on the Heritage Radio Network. You and I will be doing our first ever Heritage Radio Holiday Riot.
Holiday Riot, Turkey Trot.
Turkey Trot, Lock of Flippin' Fiasco, Fiesta.
Is Thanksgiving the first night of Hanukkah, or is Hanukkah just like somewhere in there?
I think Wednesday, the night before, is the first night we light the candles.
Okay.
You going to be lighting some candles, Andy Chernoff?
I think this might be the first year in a long time I'm going to light some candles.
I think that's awesome. Our guest today is punk rock raconteur Andy Chernoff.
Welcome, Andy. Thanks for coming.
I'm the Christopher Columbus of punk rock. So.
The Christopher Columbus of punk
Please,
rock?
Please, a little respect.
I like that.
Oh, Christopher Columbus of punk rock, so what did you do? You infected an entire nation? And,
I discovered punk rock.
Responsible for the genocide of countless innocents.
Who made a punk rock record?
You discovered, get on that microphone, punk rocker. You discovered punk rock. We were hanging out with our friend John Holmstrom the other night after the Sonics Flaming Groovy show, and I think he's got fair claim to have put that flag in the ground, too, no?
Ask him where he got his ideas from.
It's all Andy Chernoff.
Okay, hey, Joe, can we get another saucer of milk for Andy, please?
So, Andy, we were talking before we went on the air. I guess I'm the only person in the room who actually saw the CBGB's movie because it's on demand for like $5. But you have a couple songs in there.
I do. I have three songs.
So which were your songs? Were they the...
They were used as background music. They used only all the incidental music, you know, behind scenes, and it was all music from that era, from bands of that era who played CBGB's.
Right.
So they try to keep it somewhat authentic.
Well, you know, I mean, the CBGB's movie obviously has been quite the firestorm of criticism, largely by people who haven't seen it, I'm getting. I mean, a lot of hatred out there, a lot of haters hate the word get out. Of course, you know, you're a bunch of people playing people that we came out of that scene. Obviously, we feel very close to the bands that played there, and it's always kind of weird watching, like, you know, young actors, you know, from Twilight playing your punk rock heroes.
Harry Potter.
And Harry Potter.
The redhead from Harry Potter played a... Cheetah Chrome,
yeah.
He was actually not bad.
Well, I forgot that there were two Harry Potter alumni in the CBGB's movie.
Oh, yeah, Alan Rickman.
Really the great one of the Harry Potter movies, if you ever watch those movies. The guy you really want to be on the screen the most. But you saw the movie, Judy, so why don't you tell us, because you're the only one
I kind of expected to hate it, but I didn't hate it. The thing that bothered me the most was the light was so different because they filmed it in the South, and you could tell it's just like this bright Southern light that was very inauthentically New York, which was nitpicky considering all the other crap in it. Like the Richard Hell character was really awful, the Debbie Harry character was terrible.
But it was the ambient light that really bothered me.
It really bothered me for some reason. I'm like, this is so not New York lighting. But I
that's because nobody went to CBGB's in the daytime. So if you were there, you would have seen it in light.
We did because we're punk rock kids. Went to all the matinees.
Yeah.
Oh, right,
Saturdays,
right, right.
Sundays.
The Sunday thing, right.
Yeah. You know?
But
so
that was not a... This is about 10 years before.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, Alan Rickman, I think he's a great actor. I thought he played... I thought he did a good job. If you didn't, if you could just unattach yourself from the reality of the history, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was kind of entertaining.
Well, that's actually why I haven't seen it, because I'd say about 75% of the people I know who are involved in the scene say they hate it because, oh, it's not real and this and that. You know. And I think I want to wait a year, see the movie, and am I entertained by it? Great. If not, then I'll think it's a bad movie. But you got to remember this. You remember the Buddy Holly story?
Yeah.
Of course. Gary Busey.
Right. Norman Petty was not in that movie. Norman Petty wrote half the songs, produced the records.
Right.
And he was in the movie.
Well, okay, when I saw that movie, I was probably 12 years old. I wasn't hip enough to know that. But now that you mention it, it's like, holy shit, that's a crime.
Right. How can you make a movie about Buddy Holly and not have Norman Petty? Same thing. People say, oh, well, that's not what CBGBs look like, and they didn't act like that. And you know what? It's a movie.
Well, Hollywood has the worst track record. Well, you know, just this history of bad biopics and rock, historic, you know, drama.
I thought the Doors movie was good.
You're kidding me.
Bill Graham wanted to kill.
The Oliver Stone movie?
I saw it when it came out. And I remember being entertained by it. I hated the Doors.
Who was it? Was it Batman that played Jim Morrison?
Val Kilmer played Jim
Morrison. Yeah. God, it was like another one of those movies where, hey, I got this riff, Jim. What do you think? And 10 seconds later, they got a finished version of Light My Fire. Because, you know, that's how the magic happens, baby.
You
got
to compress.
But
you
got to compress
years into an hour and a half.
Andy Warhol walks up an elevator, and what does he say? Jim, in the future, everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes. This is one line of the movie. It's just a little bit forced. I thought the Ray Charles movie was pretty good, actually, as far as these things go. But I did not like the Doors movie. And the punk rock movies, the Germs movie was fucking unwatchable.
Yeah.
And the Runaways movie, too.
I loved the Runaways movie.
Really?
I thought that was really fun. Again, like, I wasn't looking for...
It spoke to your teenage girl inside you.
Yeah, I was just looking to be entertained. I wasn't looking for a really accurate depiction.
Well, I have no comment because I haven't seen any of those movies. I don't go to movies anymore. I have Netflix in my house. I have a big screen TV. If I want to see a movie, I'll watch something old.
It's on demand. You can watch it in your house.
I don't want to waste an hour and a half of my life.
Take the plunge. Judy and I will give you $5.
For which movie?
To watch the CBGB's movie.
I will watch it in a year from now.
You know,
I don't want those $5. Pay me now for this.
If I had like a drawing in a movie in the background of like some crowd scene, I would go see that movie because I'd be so excited to be part of a movie. Mm-hmm. But your ego is
sure enough,
not
you're
like
you're taking the checks.
Of course I'm taking the checks.
Watch the movie.
I will in a year. Don't tell me what to do.
I'm just saying, like, you have more self-control than I do.
Yeah, I couldn't stay. I couldn't stay.
No, I think I'm going to be biased. I think there's too much talk, and people hate it. A few people like it. Some friends like it. I don't want to. I just want to go, I want to be entertained tonight. Bop, click, click, click. I'm going
to
watch it tonight.
Yeah, I get that. There's always a bit of anxiety watching something that you're so close to.
I don't want to feel judging it too much, too heavy.
You're not going to be able to stop
it. I want
to
either entertained by it or I'm not entertained.
No,
by it.
You can't detach yourself. You can't watch it dispassionately. Yeah. Although it was always just kind of disconcerting to me that like all the people on our Facebook, various Facebook friends and threads, especially John Holmstrom, who's, you know, obviously involved in it, and we know, I hate this, it was awful, I'm not going to watch it, you know, it's a crime, of people who hadn't seen it, which is kind of like that bandwagon mentality I try to avoid. It kind of mob rules.
Well, that's the internet for you, Mike.
The fucking internet again. Andy, you got a new record coming out? You got a new EP coming out?
Well, that's a nice segue there. I do. It's all done. Official will be officially released in January, early next year. I'm just holding off because it's just easier to get it out that time. And meanwhile, I've been doing some shows. I'm working on some new videos. Some of my videos, I've got a lot of video hits on the YouTube.
You have your own YouTube channel?
I have my own YouTube channel, yes, I do.
Isn't it amazing? It's like, you were the guy that said to me, actually, it's like the punk rockers won. When we're talking about the diplomacy, you know, the egalitarian nature of the internet, that, you know, it's easy to make a record now, you can make it on your computer, we all have distribution, the punk rockers won. Isn't that what we always wanted, DIY?
Now I'm a movie maker. I make sure. I love it. It's a lot of fun, and I have another one coming out. I'm not sure if I'm going to put out before my EP or after my EP. I'm working on my fifth YouTube video. What? And they're basically little movies.
And I dig the stuff you're doing. You've sort of kind of reinvented yourself as more of a raconteur than you're obviously a celebrated songwriter, but known primarily for playing in a big hard rock band.
Well, you know, people say, Andy, you used to be in these loud rock bands, Marshall Amps, you know, people blowing people's ears out, and now you got acoustic guitar. What do you turn into, a sensitive singer-songwriter? And I say, wrong. I'm the insensitive singer-songwriter.
A much better way to say.
Well, you know, an acoustic guitar.
And I will prove that as soon as I do my next song.
Well, why don't you do a song for us? Okay. And, you know, an acoustic guitar really is the last refuge of a punk rocker.
What are we going to hear, Andy?
This is a song off my new EP. You know, I'm from New York City, so there wasn't a lot, religion wasn't there. You know, I'm Jewish, and most people I knew were Jewish or Catholic, but we didn't know, people in New York City didn't know anything about the rapture, you know, Jesus coming back down to earth. So I didn't really think about this too much. And then a few years ago, I read about these presidential candidates who believe that Jesus is going to come down to earth, like George Bush and Sarah Palin. And
yeah, that's no joke.
And they basically, the precursor to Jesus coming down is war in the Middle East. So they, anything to make war, they want to encourage war in the Middle East.
Well, that's why they're so pro-Israel, right?
That's right. They're not pro-Jewish.
No.
They're pro-Israel.
Right wing.
Taking land away from the Palestinians and creating tension and starting war. So, I mean, when I was growing up, the only guy who talked about Jesus coming return to earth with this guy in a soapbox in Times Square with a long beard come the end is nigh, and he was crazy. And I think anybody who thinks Jesus is coming back to earth is crazy. And so I did some research,
right?
And this song,
so insensitive,
every word in this song is what evangelicals actually believe, with a little bit of spin from moi.
Alright
Oh, let me get a little tunage here, sorry.
Jesus' guitar is always tuned.
Come on, talk.
I don't know anything about tuning any guitar. Oh, here we go.
Well, all right. This song is going to bring up on the end of days, guaranteed.
Skies part as the light shines through. Guess who's back? It's the zombie Jew. He's really pissed at the unmarried fornicators, the stem cell crusaders, and the butthole invaders. Towers fell, and the earth did quake. Just a little taste of his vengeance. America, prepare for your fate. 'Cause when the trumpets sound, he will astound. Watch the rivers turn to blood. The sinners cry, the dead will rise. Judgment day has come. Are you ready to rapture the savior that you spurn? Loves you forever, but the unbelievers must burn. When the zombie Jew returns, the Jewish zombie a virgin for mommy. He's so confused, life's a mess. When you got two daddies and you think you're blessed. So he died for your sins, came back for your brain. Guilt trip until we're all insane. He needs your money, he reads your mind. From his theme park in the sky. Are you ready to rapture? Our savior has returned. Loves you forever, but the unbelievers must burn. When the zombie Jew returns, whoa, 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 whoa. Thank you.
come as a man of peace. Could be the president with a microchip implanted by the beast. Yeah, who's gonna tempt and tease ya? Use evolution to deceive ya. And when the final battle comes, will you be a chosen one? Are you ready to rapture? On a white horse you will ride. Revenge will be so fucking sweet when all the heathens burn. I'm looking at you, Edison. Don't worry, you're on the line behind me. And Judy, I know you're not gonna, you're going to heaven. When the zombie Jew returns, whoa, whoa.
Great job.
Cannot wait to get on the spaceship. Yeah. So, Andy, you and I are doing a gig next week together.
That's true.
I'm looking forward to this.
That's true.
It is November 20th, is that right? Wednesday night?
November 20th at
Coco 66 in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Starbucks.
And then I'm playing up in Hudson with Peter Aaron, who's going to be on the bill with us on the 2 days later, I guess the 22nd.
Peter Aaron of the Chrome Cranks fame. He's also got a new book out called If You Like the Ramones.
And then on the 23rd, actually, I'm playing in Williamsburg with my fiance Carla Rhodes, doing her show.
Where's that?
The Perils. It's at a place called Cloud. Oh, damn it. Cloud something. I forgot the name.
I never even heard of Cloud.
It's a performance space, like a little arts and craftsy, really cool. They do a lot of cool stuff.
Well, that's where we're headed, to performance
space. It's on 5th Street, I believe.
All Cloud right. City.
Up. The youngster knows the place.
Joe, King of Engineers. He's hip. He's hip. He's happening. He's
he knows it. What's the name of the place?
Cloud City.
Cloud City. Thank you.
I had my last big gig in an art gallery. That's where we're all headed.
No, it's a really cool space. They do really interesting things. Like, they have these variety shows. So they'll do a juggler and a comedian and a ventriloquist. And
I think a lot of part of what we do, and actually the CBGB's legacy, if you think about it, it's finding places to play. I mean, the bands discovered CBGB. CBGB's didn't discover the bands. Scenes start about places that let us play.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we've seen that time and time again. So, you let us play here, and if it works, we'll play again, and we'll bring our friends.
Right.
And it's a scene. I mean, Hilly didn't curate the Talking Heads and the television. He just curate because it's such a hipster, modern word to use.
Television was walking down the street. They said they saw Hilly put up a sign. And Rich Lloyd said, hey, can we play here? And then, you know, Arturo Vega was living around the corner. He said, get the Ramones in there. And then the Ramones brought Blondie in. And then, you know.
And that's the beauty of it. Nice organic scene. Tell you what, let's take a break. We have a song that you wrote.
Okay.
Sung by.
Oh, the Joey Ramone song? Okay.
Yeah.
I co-wrote.
Okay. Yeah. Sung by Joey Ramone from his solo record.
Right.
And prominently featured in the CBGB's movie.
Yeah. I don't think so. I didn't get a check for that one. God bless you, Joey.
All right.
We miss you.
Stop thinking about it. The thrill is driving me crazy. Obsessing, don't you know what this is? Yeah, you don't know what you want, but you want it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. This world is driving me crazy. Baby, don't you know what that's it? Yeah, you don't know what you want, but you want it. I'll be buried.
So that was lovely. So you co-wrote that with Joey?
I did.
I never met him. I don't know if you did, Mike.
No, I didn't. I didn't know any of the Ramones. I didn't know Joey. We played with him a couple times. Opened up for him a few times, but
they did. Okay.
Oh yeah, with both Sharky's Machine and the Ronchans, and it was such a gas watching their show. And even later, when we saw them in the '80s, and even later when Dee Dee wasn't in the band, what a fucking well oiled machine. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like Johnny always said, it was like a military attack, and it was just incredible watching the precision. Because even after they had stopped making, you know, really great records, their stage show was still 100% Ramones. There's no way a fan could ever possibly be disappointed with what they put up there. And the amazing thing watching them is when Dee Dee said 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, it had nothing to do with when the song started or the actual tempo. It was just like, you know, they were just on Ramones time. It was a beautiful, like a beautiful thing.
It was like a leather jacket. It was part of the gimmick. No, the Ramones were this is the reason why they're in the Hall of Fame. They changed music as much. I mean, maybe the Beatles changed music after the Beatles. I think Ramones might be number two in that ladder of changing music.
I don't know a single rock band in business in the last, since the Ramones, that hasn't been influenced by them. And right. I include, you know, Metallica and, you know, all sorts of genres in there, whether it was like the grunge or new wave or pop, the simplicity. Everybody likes the Ramones. Right. They are really the perfect rock and roll band. Right. I mean, they are the Neoplatonic ideal of what a rock
and
roll band.
Well, they're the perfect rock and roll with all the fat cut off.
Right. Yeah,
just
definitely.
The best meat left there.
You know, and that, yeah, it's flawless.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the first four records are all greatest hits records, as far as I'm concerned.
No, yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, the funny thing is they were sort of, you know, this iconic, quote-unquote, punk rock band, and to listen to them, you know, it's not, they don't play particularly fast, usually. They've got all these great pop hooks. It's very, very easy going on the ear. It's not abrasive and angry the way the Sex Pistols were, for instance, or the way punk rock bands that followed them playing, you know, 20 million miles an hour and being caustic in their attitude. The Ramones are very idealistic.
They got faster live later on. Yeah. But the big difference from Ramones and every other punk rock band is Joey had an amazing voice. And that sort of lifted it above the screaming and the attitude and the that a lot of the other bands had.
No, and good taste. A good voice and good taste, which is worth a lot.
Good taste. His first record, he sings in an English accent. It was brilliant.
Well, you know, all y'all punk rockers of that certain generation, I mean, you're hippies. You know, I mean, you came out of it. I mean, we all have the 60s hangover a little bit. We came out of that.
And that, look, the Ramones started probably 74. Dictator started 73. 74. Hippies ended 70, 71. So
much later than that. I mean, the Vietnam War didn't even end until 1975. I always say the 60s, which didn't even begin until 1963 when Kennedy was shot, or possibly 64 when the Beatles were on TV. Because that did, I mean, after the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, everybody wanted an electric guitar. That really was a signal moment. John Waters said when the Beatles were on TV, it was the day rhythm and blues died, in the same way when Andy Warhol painted a soup can, abstract expressionism was dead.
True.
I mean, it was a real turning point, a real signal moment.
And no matter what you say about Nirvana, when that Nirvana record came out, every hair metal band died, and that's the best thing about Nirvana.
Oh, man, you know, I couldn't believe it. When they knocked Michael Jackson out of number one, there was such pride amongst everyone I knew because it was one of ours. Yeah. It was one of our guys did that. And you know what? Corporate rock still sucks.
Yeah, death to hair metal.
So, Andy, you were telling us our friend John Holmstrom sold his archives to Yale. You're selling your archives,
I'm
too.
I'm selling the archives. Yeah, my parents died about 2 years ago. And in the attic, I was keeping all my stuff from when I was a kid. And they were always saying, Andy, it's a fire hazard. Get it out. Get it out. And I said, no, I want it. So I went up there, organized it, put it in boxes, put it in a storage space. And then I meet this guy, Johan Kugelberg, who says he sells archives. I said, well, you want to take a look at mine? And he says, yep, I could get money for this. He took it. He was ready to take it right away. I said, hold on, let me think about it. So working out a deal, and we're talking. Well, hasn't happened yet, but we're talking to a major university.
What kind of stuff is in there? I mean,
magazines, fanzines is what he's most interested in.
Uh-huh.
I have fanzines that have very few copies. Magazines. He wants my records, all my old records, all my papers, posters for shows. What else have I got in there? Just stuff I was collecting.
So it's a lot of punk rock ephemera and historical artifacts.
Also
a lot of Andy Chernoff, the original notebooks or song.
He hasn't asked me about that. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I don't think that's as interesting. It's more the historical artifacts, not necessarily my personal historical things, mm-hmm. but about the scene in the 60s and the 70s. I have stuff when I was a kid, from the hippie days and punk rock days, and even a little bit after.
Yeah, I think Kathleen Hanna's archives are at NYU now. I mean, it's cool that it's becoming an area of study and it's respected after, being a joke to a lot of people for so long.
Yeah, I said, what do they want this for? I said, they need something for PhD students to write about.
Don't you want to get your PhD in that now?
A PhD in punkology?
I have a PhD.
In punkology? Dr. Chernoff. Dr. Chernoff of
My
punk.
My mom would be so happy. Finally a doctor.
Listen, the fact that you're even talking to a university, I think, is nice. Imagine how pleased my parents would be.
There's another interesting story. I went to State University in New Paltz for a few years before I dropped out to start a rock and roll band. And I'm listed as one of the notable graduates on their website.
I've dropped out of a few notable schools myself, and believe me, they're not listing me anywhere near their fundraising pamphlets.
That's why you're going to hell with me.
Well, before I see you there, maybe we can do another song, and let's remind everybody that we're playing next Wednesday in Greenpoint, November 20th,
yep.
Coco 66. It's a Cave Stomp production with our friend Peter Aaron, Andy Chernoff, and I'll be bringing the Interstellar Rendezvous Band with me. What's our last song?
Andy, take us on out. People say, Andy, you're a guy, we're a singer, the sensitive singer-songwriter. I say, no, I'm the insensitive singer-songwriter, and this is, once again, proof I'm the insensitive singer-songwriter. You wake up every morning totally confused, 'cause you can't get a date, but you're getting screwed. So you're searching for a reason, a way to carry on, when everything is broken and everything is wrong. So you tried to save the whales, you found the tree to kiss, you gave a crippled child his dying wish. You're waiting for an answer, a message from above. You've always been a sucker, another fool in love. Hey, what's it all about? Pussy and money. I ain't trying to be cute, I ain't trying to be funny. Everybody lies about pussy and money, and it's always gonna be that way. It's always gonna be that way. You see a girl, you start talking. She sees your car, she starts walking. Sweet success, just take it. If you're sincere, you can fake it. Hey, what's it all about? Pussy and money. I ain't trying to be cute, I ain't trying to be funny. Everybody cries about pussy and money, and it's always gonna be that way. It's always gonna be that way. A million stars out of reach, a billion grains of sand on the beach. So you pray every night when the sun goes down, 'cause there are only two things that make this world go round. Hey, what's it all about? Pussy and money. I ain't trying to be cute, I ain't trying to be funny. Everybody lies about it, everybody cries about it. There ain't nothing you can do about it, and it's always gonna be that way. It's always gonna be that way.